The words of God given to us today are Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Amen. Among the total of 66 books in the Old and New Testaments, the longest book is Psalms, consisting of 150 chapters. The most distinctive characteristic of Psalms is that the songs, prayers, laments, thanksgivings, and resolutions offered by humans to God were included as part of the Bible, which is supposed to only record the words of God. The Book of Psalms is understood as the Book of Prayers offered by the Israelites, or the Book of Hymns, sung during worship. Therefore, the overarching theme of Psalms is prayer and praise. However, Psalms chapter 1, which serves as an introduction to the book of Psalms, does not contain anything about prayer and praise, but rather instructions and the law or the word of God. This is because if we do not follow God's words, we cannot properly worship, pray, or praise God. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." It is said that the blessed man does not do three things. They do not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. The wicked are those who live their lives not based on God's words, but based on their own evil thoughts, plans, and desires. Furthermore, the wicked are greedy, seeking to obtain what they desire, even at the cost of infringing on the interests and the rights of others. Accordingly, there is no room for God in the hearts of the wicked. And the translation in the Korean Bible also includes a word that is akin to schemes or tricks in English, which means counsel, advice, or consultation. But the counsel of the wicked are always based on the worldly values and therefore are materialistic and greed-oriented. It's because they can't help themselves to be like that. And sinners are those whose purposes in life is not directed towards God and His Word. Rather, sinners aim their lives on their own desires and the worldly values. And because they fail to stay on track properly to aim at their life's purposes, their entire lives become derailed. And while the way means road or track, it also signifies an attitude towards one's life or way of life. Sinners have a different attitude towards life and the way of life than the blessed. Not standing in the way that sinners take means not following their lifestyles, not envying their success, and resolving not to live like them. The mockers are those who mock God with malicious words. In other words, they not only do not acknowledge God's existence and his works, but also negate, belittle, and despise them. And sitting in the company does not mean staying only for a short time, but settling down. If you attend a gathering for the first time and find it entertaining, but not helpful for your life and faith, then you need to leave the place because it will not be beneficial to you. This is what it means to not sit in the company of mockers. Settling down in that gathering because it promises pleasure and success to you means that you are sitting in the company of the mockers. On the other hand, a blessed man is said to do two things. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. A blessed man first delights in the law of the Lord. The Korean translation includes an adverb meaning only in the law of the Lord, and only means concentration. You focus and concentrate on what must be done and shun what must not be done with all your heart and might. Simply resolving not to walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers is not enough to make you a blessed man. You need to go one step farther, which is to delight in the law of the Lord. This law of the Lord, or the Word of God, is a synecdoche which refers to the entire Bible. In living out our faith, we cannot become blessed by delighting only in the words that we like, only in the words that bring us comfort and encouragement, or only in the words we underline when reading the Bible. Rather, when we read the entire Bible on a regular cadence and with all our hearts, that is when the words that we didn't expect to move us, the words that we have previously overlooked, and the words that we previously failed to understand will begin to seep into our hearts and our lives, eventually changing us. And this change is how we become more and more of a blessed man. And in that sense, participating in the Bible reading retreat to devote a week at the beginning of 2026 to reading the entire Bible will be spiritually and truly beneficial. Secondly, a blessed man meditates on his law day and night. The word meditate means to murmur quietly to oneself. Back then, when someone would murmur something quietly to themselves, it was assumed that one was meditating on God's words. And the fact that someone is murmuring God's words meant that they were revealing themselves as the children of God and as a Christian. We are more likely to live lives befitting that of a Christian if we reveal ourselves as Christians rather than to hide it. God allows us to reveal our faith and have others observe such faith in order for us to grow and mature. Before one serves as the district leader, a deacon, or Sunday school teacher, one doesn't mind living less faithfully. However, once one starts holding such positions, one struggles to live life more faithfully than before. And this applies to other types of ministries as well. Had I not been a pastor, it is very likely that I would have had less faith than compared to now. The important takeaway is that if we live a life that keeps God's words, then those words will protect us. It is because the Word of God is alive. Furthermore, we cannot be blessed without the Word of God. And those who are not blessed, or the wicked, the sinners, and the mockers, are all those who live only according to their own will and desires, and those who are separated from the Word of God. Many Christians desire to live a life that does not walk, does not stand, or does not sit with the wicked. However, very few actually live accordingly. This is because Christians often associate with the wicked, the sinners, and the mockers in their daily lives. And those who truly desire to live a blessed life and cultivate their lives anew must be drawn to that which should be kept close and distance themselves from what should be shunned. Moreover, one needs to discern where they stand between the kingdom of God and the world. Only then can we cultivate each year and each day as truly a new year and a new day. Today's scripture also testifies on who we should not associate with. First, verse 1 to 2 of today's scripture reads, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We are built to follow God's examples. This does not mean that we should emulate the incommunicable attributes that God does not share with us, such as aseity, self-existence, immutability, infinity, and omnipresence. But to emulate the communicable attributes that God has chosen to share with us, such as his holiness, love, faithfulness, and patience. The most representative and concrete case we know who have followed God's example was our Lord, Jesus Christ. God loved us so much that he offered himself as the fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Verse 3 and onwards testify to what it means to not follow God's example. Verse 3, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." While not translated in the Korean Bible, the Greek Bible begins with the word "de" or "but." And this creates a contrast between the verses 1 to 2 and verses 3 to 7. From verse 3 and onwards, they describe the lives of those who do not follow God's example, and farther, the state that we can fall into if we do not try to follow God's example. The Greek word for sexual immorality is porneia, which is the root word for the English word pornography, meaning pornographic material. This word describes any inappropriate relationships that happen outside of a marital relationship. Impurity means uncleanliness or filthiness, and it refers to not only mental and physical uncleanliness, but also to moral and spiritual degradation. It particularly refers to corrupted inner mind linked to sexual immorality and idolatry. And greed is the desire to enjoy more than what is permitted. The book of Luke chapter 12 contains the parable of the foolish rich man. A rich man, seeing his harvest as immense, thought that it would sustain him for the rest of his life. So he tore down his previous barns and built larger ones, more than enough to store not only the harvest of the season, but also all of his possessions. Jesus called the rich man foolish because of such greed. However, in the context of today's passage, the greed is used in a sexual context to mean fornication and uncleanness, just like the previous two words. In other words, it refers to one wanting to have greater and more desires than what is permitted to oneself. At the time, Asia Minor, including Ephesus, where the temple of the goddess Artemis was located, and Corinth, where the temple of the goddess Aphrodite was located, was deeply and morally corrupt. The temples housed over 1,000 priestesses, many of whom came from brothels, who served on a rotational basis. At night, the priestesses would go out into the city and engage in a so-called holy prostitution, offering the proceeds of such acts to the temple. However, Paul strongly condemns such a lifestyle, urging them to not even mention the name of such. And verse 4 reads, "Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." This passage relates to the language that we use on a daily basis. Obscenity means unspeakable vulgarity. It refers to the type of language that makes the hearer go red. And foolish talk means empty words without meaning or useless words thrown around thoughtlessly. In an old comedy show, there was a segment called quote-unquote nonsense feast, and foolish talk can be described as engaging in nonsensical talk everywhere. This means that a Christian life can never be frivolous. As Christians, we must think before we speak and also be considerate of others. Coarse joking means making sarcastic remarks intended to belittle and criticize others. These words are used to attack the other person through indirect speech. Sometimes attacking someone indirectly can come across as more cruel than directly attacking them. And that is the meaning of coarse joking. The Bible teaches us that as Christians, we should not speak obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, but rather thanksgiving. In other words, Christians should not only avoid speaking the aforementioned, but also strive to speak in good words. This is because one's speech reflects character, and character reflects speech. Verse 5 of today's scripture is a summary of verse 3. Verse 5, "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Immoral, impure, or greedy persons are dubbed altogether as idolaters in verse 5. This is because they only serve their own desires. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 reads, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." When we covet something and greed for something, we eventually become consumed by it. therefore, we are no longer under God's control, but are controlled and governed by the object of our covetousness. In other words, the covetousness takes God's place, and therefore, what we covet becomes our idols. Psalm chapter 51, verses 11 through 13. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. The title of Psalm chapter 51 is A Psalm of David to the Leader of the Congregation, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had slept with Bathsheba. Before the incident with Bathsheba, David had enjoyed great success both worldly and spiritually. However, when he began to be consumed by his own desires and idolized it, he was put under his own desires' control and everything fell apart. After David sinned against God, he felt as if he had been cast out by God. When one is rejected by another person, he or she feels hurt and oppressed. And how much stronger would it have been for David when he felt that he had been cast out by God? David also knew very well what happened when the Holy Spirit departed and was casted out from King Saul, whom he had served before. When the Spirit of God departed from King Saul, an evil spirit possessed him, tormenting and agonizing him. King Saul's officials, upon seeing this, suggested to the king, "Let us bring in a skilled harpist. When the evil spirit torments you, he will play the harp and you will be healed." And this man was David. So David must have clearly witnessed King Saul suffering from the evil spirit many times. And knowing this, David feared that the same thing would now happen to him. And this is why David prayed for the restoration to feel the joy of salvation. In other words, he is now confessing that he has now lost the joy of salvation that he had felt before he had sinned, and that it is no longer inside him. When we sin against God, the first thing that happens is we become reluctant to come before God. Moreover, even his presence becomes very burdensome, and we want to reject his presence as a whole. If our life of faith is devoid of the joy of salvation and the joy of God's companionship, then what life could be more boring than this? So this is how dangerous idolizing one's own greed is. Verses 6 through 7. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Verse 4 describes obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are empty words and empty talk. It also warns us not to be deceived by such empty words. And God is also saying that our speech will reveal who we are as a person. The Lord says that the ultimate judgment will also come based on our own words. If we fall for these empty words, we will soon discover that we have become empty beings. We are not idolaters who associate with sexual immorality, all kinds of impurity, and greed. Nor do we associate with those who seek to deceive others based on empty talk and empty words. We are those who do not wear such shoes of worldly values, but rather the shoes or sandals of the truth and the life. Today is the first New Year Sunday of the year 2026. As I have mentioned during the New Year's service, our church's motto this year is "Take off your sandals," based on the verse of Joshua chapter 5, verse 15. And it reads, "The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." The Israelites left Egypt and endured 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And finally, they arrived at Gilgal, at the land of Canaan, which was the land that was promised by God. There, in obedience to God's commands, they performed circumcision, which had been suspended in Egypt for 40 years, and also celebrated Passover, which had also been suspended for 40 years. And then the commander of the Lord's army appeared before Joshua and said, "Take off your sandals." When God had called on Moses to carry out the works of Exodus, he said, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." God could have said, "Take off." God has also told Moses to take off your sandals. He could have said, "Take off your outer garments," or "Put down your staff." But of all things, why did he say, "Take off your sandals"? Sandals, or shoes, are at the lowest level of one's garments. This is why it can be said that shoes is an envelopment of the person that they hold. An outer garment will take on a different shape once it is worn off. However, the shoes maintain the same shape even after one has worn it. And that is why, when you look at a person's shoes, it is not the shoes, the outer appearance of the shoes that you are looking at, but the presence or the character of the person as a whole. Therefore, the shoes or sandals is a metonymy which represents the walks of life that the shoe owner has experienced. Up until 80, Moses had lived in the Egyptian palace for 40 years and the rest of the 40 years in the Midian desert. For the duration of those 80 years, Moses thought that he was master of his own life. Whether he held an enviable position from its appearance or a humble one, as long as Moses was still the master of his own life, God could not have used Moses to carry out his works. So the first thing that God asked of him upon calling him was to take off his sandals. What God meant was, for the past 80 years, you have lived your life according to your own will, but from now on, you will live a life of obedience according to my own will. And the Exodus that I have entrusted to you will not be done according to your own plans, but according to my own, and you will be used only as a vessel for such work. Upon hearing this, and as a sign of obedience, Moses took off his shoes, and from then on, he became the vessel and the tool for God to carry out his works. And again, we see that Joshua was also told to take off his sandals. Joshua and the Israelites are now faced with the task of taking down the seemingly impregnable city of Jericho and of living as God's people in the land of Canaan. And so God is commanding them to accomplish all these things according to his own will, not their own, and according to his own words, not their own. The year 2025 marked the 20th anniversary of the founding of our church, and the year 2026 will mark its 21st. If the past 20 years have been a period of Moses taking off his sandals, then the years that we face ahead will be the period of Joshua taking off his sandals. This is why we chose this year's church motto as "Take off your sandals," as written in Joshua chapter 5, verse 15. Over the past 20 years, our church has experienced many events, both large and small. And through all these years, what we can confess in unison is that God had led us through it all. Just because the Israelites have crossed the Jordan River or destroyed the walls of Jericho did not mean that they have taken over the land of Canaan completely. Even after such events, each tribe had to fight for the land that were assigned to them, and even after taking over the land, they still struggled to obey God's words and to not follow the values of the Canaanites. Likewise, as we navigate our lives in this 21st century in the land of Korea, if we faithfully walk the path of the church as a church, the pastor as a pastor, and the congregation as a congregation, then, in another 20 years, we will again confess all together that God had led us through it all. This year in particular, there will be a vote of confidence for three co-senior pastors, including myself. It is stipulated under paragraph 1 of Article 19, Vote of Confidence for Senior Pastor, of our church's Article of Incorporation that each newly appointed senior pastor shall obtain a vote of confidence from the Common Assembly upon the first anniversary of his or her commencement of ministry. If one fails to obtain such vote of confidence, they need to step down as senior pastor. This is the older version, meaning once a senior pastor obtains the initial vote of confidence, they will be appointed until their last year of retirement. However, this was revised in 2024 and a new paragraph has been added. It now stipulates that a senior pastor who has earned the vote of confidence shall obtain another vote of confidence from the Common Assembly every 7 years thereafter. This clause was added at the request of our co-senior pastors to our church's Article Revision Committee. And this significantly reflects our co-senior pastor's resolve to serve the church until the last day of appointment as the duly servants who took off their sandals before the Lord. Our church began the co-pastorship in November 2018 and were appointed a year later in November 2019. And this coming November of 2026 will mark our 7th anniversary. So it can be said that we are also entering our second terms of service. The new year has begun, but the future of our country's politics, economy, society, national defense, and diplomacy for this year still remains uncertain. In particular, the unstable exchange rate, the seemingly endless surge in real estate prices, and the U.S.'s high tariff policies are weighing heavily on the hearts of our citizens. News of global wars continues unabated, and the protectionist policies of major powers, including the U.S. and China, will only intensify. Accordingly, the year 2026 is expected to be even more challenging in most areas compared to the year 2025. Nevertheless, we still remain hopeful despite all this because the providence of God, who governs and works over the Republic of Korea and our lives, is with us. Therefore, no matter how difficult our circumstances are, we still have hope. Moreover, if our church and each of us live in obedience to the Lord's command to take off our sandals, then this year will truly mark a new year, and where we take off our old selves and take on the new selves. God will then use us as the vessels to renew our families and transform our workplaces. He will also transform the churches of this land and renew our society. If we live this year and every year that comes after this year in such faith, then our lives will be truly blessed. Let us pray. your Father God, even though you have called us to follow the examples of God, the world constantly urges us to live according to the worldly values, our own thoughts, and our own desires. It continues to whisper that living according to the world and our own desires is what would guarantee success and that it will bring greater joy. However, just as a blessed person does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but delights in and meditates on God's word day and night, may we never forget that as believers, we should not even mention obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. May we also not forget that we should also refrain from the words of immorality, impurity, or greed, but thanksgiving. Above all, may we remember that as Christians, we are meant to cast off the shoes of the worldly values. Dear Father God, thank you for giving our church the motto of this year, take off your sandals. Beginning this year, our church will also move forward toward a new 20 years. Let us take off our sandals and obey your words. And by faithfully preserving the church identity as a church, the pastor's identity as a pastor, and the congregation's identity as a congregation, let us live faithfully to pave the road for the upcoming 200 years of the Korean Christianity. Furthermore, even if our lives are difficult, may our families, workplaces, and society become healthier and more renewed as we obey the command to take off our sandals. And in doing so, may this year truly be cultivated as the new year for all of us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.